Wait, is it loading? Is it loading? Is it loading?
We're going to buy a double wide and move to Alabama.
Sloppy mouth, quaggy dack wiggle.
Let's see how extreme we can get.
Babu.
Let's see how far we can go.
Beth and Bob, uncensored.
Can you hear my asshole puckering right now?
Unfortunately, yes.
Well, I had to check my... I just needed to see if there were more people being wrong on the internet.
Babu.
Give him the butter fist!
Hit him with the freeze cut!
Then we bro fist and call it a night.
Where's your mother? Fall down dead. In my dirty mouth, pretty little head. I wish you were here. I wish you'd make my bed. In my dirty mouth, pretty little head.
Hello, fellow dirty minds. Welcome back, Frank, to episode 25.
Yep.
Of Beth and Bob Uncensored, Babu Radio, on CosmicBroadcasting.com. I am your co-host, Cabby Bob, and they'll have theirs, you'll have yours, and I'll have mine. And it's my pleasure to introduce to you once again, the Willis to my Arnold, your host, Elizabeth Clements Mosley. Beth, how are you doing this week?
That is what I'm talking about.
That's good to know.
Arnold.
I was trying to figure it out, and now I know.
Yeah. So, yeah, I completely... fucking forgot what day this was. It's really weird. I mean, like, I knew that it must be Wednesday because I'm not at work, and
that's right.
The day that I had off this week.
Mm-hmm.
It may be that I was embroiled in Stephen King, perhaps. I don't know what it was.
Could be.
I double scheduled. I made an appointment thinking it was Tuesday. A friend of ours asked if I wanted to come see your show tonight, and I'm like, why are they doing theater on a Tuesday? That's really weird. And then,
that is ridiculous. Who would do that?
Yeah, and then you texted me, and you're like, see you at 2:30, and I was like, why? Oh, my God! Oh! And then, so if I were capable, I mean, look, I actually turned out pretty okay today.
Yeah, you did fine.
And like, if I was capable of this consistently capable, really, of this level of hurry, my life and more importantly, Dylan's life would be a lot
oh, sure.
easier than. But I managed to get everything, you know, the way it was supposed to.
Right on.
Yeah.
So you can do it.
It takes a lot of effort. I think
sure.
it's like when the pony has to really run on the Pony Express. Like,
right.
I mean, like, you don't want the
you
pony
gotta get
to
those
run
publishers' all. Clearinghouse checks there on time.
Yeah, you do. You
yeah.
do. So you don't want that pony running like that all the time.
No.
One day I'll just fucking drop dead while I'm putting on my
lip gloss.
Right. I really need to take it slower. And I sort of just set up the makeup and then just ran at it and hoped that the eye stuff was like in the right place.
Just laid it out on the desk and smashed your face
yes.
into it? Well,
yes.
you got pretty good aim. It looks good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, we actually have a guest this week.
Oh, hey! Hi!
Live via satellite from sunny Los Angeles,
you
California.
Got a pretty laugh.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. For a split second, I forgot that I was actually not just listening.
Oh.
Because I listen to so many shows for a split second, I'm like, oh, that Inception moment that you can actually hear me.
Yeah, this time the radio is actually talking back to you. But
that's
so
right.
Let's not tell her to kill.
So that is our guest from Los Angeles. That is a very funny comedian and podcast host as well, Julia Harrison. Julia, how you doing?
I'm doing excellent. Wow, that is an amazing introduction.
Why, thank
goodness.
You.
Well, I've been doing stand-up. I'm a newbie, so I've been doing it for the last, you know, 6 months or so, and it is hard here. They are
yeah.
so used to great comedy out here that if you come up and you're all right, but
right.
you're new. So you get a lot of, oh, yeah, I mean, that's good. I mean, I like where you're going with that, but they just saw, you know, some of the best comedy, you know, people like Dave Chappelle sit in some of these strange little
right.
hole-in-the-wall places, and I'm over here still getting paid like $5.
Right, and happy to have it.
Absolutely. I do this for free, too.
Yeah.
But having, oh my goodness, great introduction. I'm flattered. We can end here, and I'll roll over and have a cigarette. I'm good.
All right. Well, I have a lot of respect for anybody that'll get up there and do that. I will get up on stage and sing, and I will act, and I will take my pants off and run around like an idiot, but...
You don't feel more naked singing or
no.
doing theater or something?
No.
And you know, it's funny. I used to be a stripper, and I have also done stand-up comedy, and so it's kind of funny. Like, it's way easier to be naked in front of a room full of people who are judging you for your ass cellulite than it is to try to be funny.
Yeah.
No, that's true. I'm working out my daddy issues by standing next to a pole. You know, that's it.
Yeah.
So I'm working through all this stuff with my clothes on. So that's the only difference, I think, is kind of working through whatever you're doing, whatever process you decide to take some art.
Yeah.
You know, and trust me, stripping is an art. I've seen some damn fine strippers in my day.
Amen.
Absolutely.
And, right? It's athletic. And to do all that with your clothes off and still make it look good.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even brush my hair naked without it looking kind of gross. Where I'm like bent over like a cave person.
That's a different kind of motion. That's hard to make look sexy.
Well, you know what's kind of funny is that thing that Seinfeld said all those years about naked, you know, crouching or whatever. And like anytime we want that dollar on the floor, that's what the fuck we're doing.
Yeah,
I did the naked crouch many, many times in my life. My knees are still angry, and it's been 10 years probably. They're still like, bitch, don't talk to me right now.
I think you almost made Len do a spit take with his iced tea. What's that?
There's no way that you could think that doing comedy is harder than being completely, you know, vulnerable to, you know, here's some money. Having someone, you know, I do this stuff, I embarrass myself for free. And at least you get paid taking your clothes off and being vulnerable.
Yeah, except you're not really vulnerable. If you're the best looking and also nakedest person in the room, you are absolutely at the top of the food chain.
Wow. See, I've never been the most good looking person in a room before.
Don't believe that for a second.
Well, and honestly, goodness. There's plenty of girls that are not the most beautiful. It's really just about, it's all about attitude and stuff. I mean, pretty much all women are beautiful. So
that's true.
So, yeah, no, I don't. It's not vulnerable at all. It's much more vulnerable to be on stage trying to be funny. Trust me, I know. I would totally rather just bend over and let you look at my ass with a pen light. I did a bachelor party. I think I might have told this story before with a bunch of doctors one time up at the Broadway.
Oh my goodness.
And my friend actually got a hemorrhoid diagnosed while she was doing a dance.
Oh, that's magical.
How was the party? How was the party tonight, honey? Oh, it was all right, but I got some bad news.
Yeah, no,
that mole is...
These two doctors were like doing a consult about how they would treat it.
Oh my God, that's amazing. It's kind of, I think, the same way that you can't really turn off certain things about your personality, where, like, Bob, you'd be driving around with someone and, you know, telling these stories to us on one of the forums we were on.
Right.
And, you know, it's just you can't stop using that part of your brain, you know, whatever part of your brain, like, create or whatever. Yeah, it's hard to... I'm working on bits with people that I just met and things where I'm, you know, I almost want to apologize. Like, hold on, sorry, I'm working on a thing here.
Right.
You know,
when I hung out with a bunch of comics and did morning radio, like every 5 minutes or less, you know, when you're standing around with a bunch of comics, somebody's shouting, "That's material! Write that shit down!"
Right.
Yes. That's amazing. I'm so glad you understand what I'm talking about, because I am by no means in the upper echelon of... I know some of them, which is awesome,
right.
But... You know, at the same time, I'm still in the learning process, but I'm so glad you understand what that feels like to work with a bunch of people who never stop looking for the next bit of material or can not really shut off that creative valve wherever that is.
Yeah.
And, you know, does that happen with stripping? Do you ever work on moves, just picking stuff up?
Oh, well, yeah, kind of. I mean...
You know, like I drop something, I'm going to pick it up. You know, maybe I can try a little squat thrust move here.
A little bit, because you really want to avoid, like, there's a lot of the things that new girls do that you learn not to do. Like, oh, no, don't ever put your center of gravity there. There's a whole realm of things that happen.
Not in those shoes.
Yeah, please don't do that in the shoes. And honestly, there's a movement that all new girls do that I call the stink bug attack. And it's just a way of, you really just need to bend at the waist differently. Oh, you're new. that will stop soon. Yes.
I love it. I love going to strip clubs, and I have no idea all the minutiae that goes into, you know, all of that, and I just find it fascinating. That's why when I heard that you were, you know, used to be a stripper, I was like, oh, good.
Yeah, you see, I loved that job, but if I were not just too goddamn old and creaky now to do it, I would still be at it.
Sure.
Really? Well, it's you know, it's cardio. You know, being body conscious, you would eat healthier, I think.
No, that's not true.
No, not at all.
No, because
although
you are
grabbing something that looks alien out of a bag that is, says on the front, chunks of energy carob with organic spirulina.
I
don't
yes,
know what
that's what
I don't know
is
what half those words mean. I don't know what half
is
those words
vegan?
Mean.
Yes, this is actually vegan. No, it isn't vegan because it's got honey in it. But yes, I'm eating chunks of energy carob.
Does that count?
Honey?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
well,
because bees make honey.
Yeah, I guess
they
I'm like 1,002% never going to be vegan then, because if I can't have honey.
Oh, it's rough. But you can, if you move out here, I'm telling you, everyone out here, you look crazy if you're smoking. I rarely ever in Santa Monica see someone smoke a cigarette, but...
Yep.
As you get closer to Los Angeles, you know, back in, you know, to the deepest parts of Hollywood, more and more people smoke and
yeah, sure,
what
yeah.
have you. But there are so many goofy places that I'm like, do they sell food at this restaurant? I don't, you know what I mean? Where it's
right.
just, it's gluten-free, vegan, you know, fair
right.
trade. And then at one point I'm like, but is there food in it? Please.
Yeah.
I have a big ass. I want to keep it.
People have gotten a little bit,
is it that bad out there?
It's bad everywhere, I think. We review... We reviewed a beer on our other show from Rogue
Flagons
Farms.
And Dragons?
Yeah, from Rogue Farms in Oregon, and it was a beer. It was a pumpkin beer, and it was a thousand different spices and stuff in it. But the second to last ingredient in the ingredients list was coastal free range water.
What the fuck?
Exactly. That was my exact.
What does that mean?
I have no idea what that means. I don't know what free range water is. I thought all water was relatively free range.
Jesus. Mind hurts.
Yeah, that is
my
just
brain
the
is aching.
Yeah, well, I'm vegan and I would frankly rather have eaten a turd than I. Oh, fuck pumpkin shit, man. Fucking pumpkin. Fuck that shit.
Well, all right. Easy now.
I fucking hate pumpkin all this whole month. Everywhere I go, just fucking pumpkin. Here's a fucking pumpkin tampon.
Well, if it's not
for
pumpkin,
you.
It's... No, if it's not pumpkin, it's pink because
oh,
it's...
breast cancer.
Pink pumpkins. It was, wouldn't that,
like,
wouldn't
I don't need a month to remember boobs.
I really don't.
No, I think about them all the time.
If I have to buy another fucking box of pumpkin spice maxi pads this month, I don't know what the fuck I'm
yeah,
gonna do.
Yeah, I think those are called...
cross-marketing.
Tampkins.
That's what they are.
Yeah. Tampkin spice.
Oh my god, I love it. My friend's a graphic designer. I'm going to force him to make a mock-up for that one.
There you go.
Oh.
Tampkins.
Shit.
You
fire.
Can sell them in every yoga studio.
Absolutely.
No, you so
absolutely.
Could.
It comes in a Starbucks cup.
Free-range coastal cotton.
Yeah, it's free-range cotton, for sure.
Oh,
man. Oh,
Jesus. I'm just picturing tons of, oh, my God, I need this.
Right?
Oh, totally.
It's pumpkin spice.
Mm-hmm.
Even my beaver is vegan.
Well, that, okay.
Yeah.
That would explain why you don't have any children.
Yeah. No, it totally does. Well, the only, it does
no
take meat, but it just spits it back out.
Oh, I gotcha. Meat. I gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Like a bulimic vegan.
Yes.
Something
right.
like
there you go.
I'll allow myself to have this much, but then I got to release, catch and release.
Right.
Yes.
Catch and release. There you go. It's the way to do it. Catch and release free range meat.
I had no gag reflex. I was a very poor bulimic.
Yeah.
Underachieving bulimic.
And very popular with the men, I bet.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's what makes me a fun date and a very bad
bulimic. If you lead with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you lead with that, and you do not bring up the fact that two drinks is vomit time.
Well, I had two drinks once, and Bob watched me throw up into petunias in a public flower bed.
Yes.
So that was neat. I'm classy. I'm a real classy dame.
Luckily, her husband was there, so I didn't have to hold her hair.
Yeah.
I was not in that particular position.
Really,
in that
two drinks
position.
And over like 3 hours. That's how I roll. I roll deep.
No, I get that. I mean, I barely drink anymore because of the calories, and I love beer a lot.
Right.
And I rarely drink, so when I do drink now, I am done after two drinks or so. And I wish I could switch those years with, you know, in college with the ones I have now, where I could just flip-flop them and my tolerance would reflect my income.
Right.
It would be amazing.
There you go.
Yeah, you'd be like, barfing up a better class of liquor.
Yeah, exactly. You would have gotten a lot more studying done.
Yeah.
Well, probably not. people in their 20s, I don't think you should be allowed to go to school until you're like 24, when you've been in the real world and can actually be like, you know what, I think I want a little bit more than this. And
right.
I went to school, and then I dropped out for 5 years, and then I went back at 28, and I had girls who were like 18 telling me how I'm not really that old. And then when I tell them I was 10 years older than them, oh, you really are old. Like,
right.
I can't wait for 10 more years until you realize how stupid that sounds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and all they have to do is wait 5 minutes, and those 10 years will have passed. And
yeah, exactly.
I've watched it happen. I'm all, how's 35 fucking feel to you now? Pretty good? Good. Suck on that for a while. Because when I was 35, you said stuff like, it's hell, even though I guess you were dead.
Wow, you're almost dead.
Mm-hmm. That actually sounds like every annoying 20-something who's like, I'm so old.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know, every time someone says that, I mean, I have moments of feeling old, but, you know, when you say that around someone you know is older than you, you have to understand that, like, okay, I don't feel that old, and now you're calling yourself old, therefore I have to be ancient.
Right.
Do you think I'm about ready to die? I did not grow up with dinosaurs, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's only the wisdom that comes from maturity that's prevented me from calling you an ignorant little twat just now for saying that. So it's good that I'm that old, because otherwise you would have heard something really unpleasant, little girl.
Yeah, you wouldn't have been.
Oh no, you can.
Fun.
Oh yeah, you can absolutely say twat as much as you want around me. So one's fine.
Yeah, I wasn't
but
calling
the British
you a
say it so
calling.
Much better. Oh no, I wouldn't be offended if you did. Okay. I probably would deserve it anyway,
well, that's
just
right.
For something. But I love that the British will say twat, and it sounds delightful.
Yeah, it's much better.
If, you know, when we say it, I think it all sounds right?
Yes.
I wouldn't mind a Brit calling me a twat, because it's a twat. It sounds cute
twat,
and...
Yeah.
It's totally a twat. It,
mm-hmm.
It sounds small and little and lovely.
Yes. It has little flowers around it.
And oh, how the British exactly. laughed at our fanny packs.
Oh, yeah, doesn't that mean, like... Doesn't it mean lady bits or something?
Yeah,
other,
your fanny over mm-hmm. there is your lady bits.
That's your front bottom.
Yeah.
Your front bottom, yes, that's right. So,
mm-hmm.
like, what's in your fanny pack, darling?
I know, that's quite lovely. Let's all imitate all Brits. Actually, I do that to my... I think I get that sympathy accent where when I'm talking to friends of mine from Ireland or Britain, I start... sounding a bit pretentious, you mm-hmm. know, like every time you hear Gwyneth Paltrow or Madonna interviewed,
right.
and they again they get that fake. You grew up in Michigan, Madonna. What's going on?
Well, you know what though, you can't be almost anywhere. I mean, like what the same thing. Like we think of everybody moving here and losing their accents as a good thing, but isn't that the same thing?
No, I think it's
I think you're right. Actually,
yeah, we praise everybody else for being like, oh yeah, you totally lost your accent, now you sound good and American. Oh
yeah.
You fag, you're not from Britain, you know, but like same thing.
Well, a friend of mine, she's from Dublin, and she's been in the United States I think for about 6 years, and she's amazing, but I still hear her accent until I talk to one of my friends who still lives in Dublin,
right.
And you know, her accent is just here and there, and once in a while you hear, oh, Jesus. But, I mean, it's really subtle.
Yeah,
and I thought, you don't really notice it until you talk to someone that you're going, wait, I need subtitles. What was that?
Right, yeah.
I'm really sad when people lose their accents. You know, I like their accents usually. I think they're pretty.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a sympathetic thing, too, because I get that. I get, if I pick somebody up from the airport that's, speaks in broken English, and mm-hmm. we carry on a conversation to their destination, by the time we get there, I'll be saying things like, yes, this very nice hotel, you know.
Wow.
And I just find myself, you know, breaking it up and trying to. I had a friend, Jay, whose dad was black and his mom was Vietnamese, and she had a very, very, very thick accent. I could barely understand her. But she and he, what's the way to say this? It sounds all clunky.
Hello.
They had this kind of patois that they did that was like broken English mixed with a few words of Vietnamese, and they had this very strange language. Yeah, they had this very strange language that really only the two of them could understand, that they just went back and forth with. And it was kind of fun to listen to them talk to each other and try to figure out what the fuck they were talking about.
I like the my favorite lately has been that the young inner city hip-hop British kids, like that combination of what they think of as like inner city American speak combined mm-hmm. with
right.
British. That's a great accent. I fucking love it. Ali G.
Right.
Yeah, I love
it. Oh, yeah, where he's got that hip-hop with the mix and the, you know, and it's kind of, you know, it's British, but it's also, you know what I'm thinking about? And you're like, they mm-hmm. throw in this strange, you know, yeah, very Detroit hip-hop with, you know, Manchester mm-hmm. kind of yeah. accent. Yeah, it's very strange.
It's great.
It feels like watching a Guy Ritchie film every time I hear one of them.
Yeah, it really does.
Yep. So now you've got someone is killing someone upstairs from the studio, apparently. We just heard a body hit the floor.
You know.
Nice.
Somebody might want to call 911.
Well, you guys at least have an alibi.
Yeah, absolutely. It's recorded. you have a new show that you're starting up. What is it?
I do. The Hold Up? So I had this idea while I was smoking a little herbal medicine,
uh-huh.
I love being able to say I went to a store and purchased weed like an adult.
Yeah. Out to Colorado, you don't even need a card.
Oh yeah, and I just moved from Seattle. Before I moved to Los Angeles, I was in Seattle. I helped them put that into effect, so I voted on it, and then I left before it actually happened. But I don't. But bad timing.
I quit smoking dope, and then it became legal.
Mm-hmm.
So fucking dope. Yeah.
I wish I could go back in time and slap really poor weed out of my hands and just be like, just wait.
Yeah, hang on a minute.
Just wait. Yeah, it gets better.
Good shit's coming.
But exactly. But so I had this idea of talking to... I've had the opportunity from a previous show to speak to a lot of amazing comedians and actors who you might not have heard of and some you have. And to the point where I get to ask them all kinds of weird questions, and I've been more immersed into the comedy community, which is uh-huh. by far one of the most amazing things. But so I'm, you know, part of the podcasting documentary Earbuds, so free plug for them, and the crew is amazing, nice. By the way.
Yeah.
And so I had this idea of talking to people about things that we used to love as not so much in our youth, but in some formative part of our life
mm-hmm.
where, you know, you listen to some album and it makes you think of something that you still love, and it still is just as good as the first time you heard it.
Right.
And so I've been talking to my first one I just finished editing, because I like to give myself some time, uh-huh. was with Irvin Ross, and he was on Comedy Bang Bang the first and third season, mm-hmm. and he he's a really funny guy, and I got to talk to him about The NeverEnding Story and having watched it as children and then watching it as an adult, and how do the special effects hold up, you know? So I've been watching a lot of things that I used to love, and I'm really putting the test of time to them. Right. I mean, could either of you think of something that you really loved but you haven't seen or, you know, listened to, or something that you used to eat or, you know, but you haven't had in a while and you have good memories about it?
Oh, God.
But I'm almost scared to revisit some.
Well, yeah, that happened to me with Labyrinth. Labyrinth was a terrible revisit. Like, it just, it does not hold up.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yep.
And there was a special kind of vitamin C.
It does.
Yeah, well, no. And there was also I don't think so. I think it doesn't.
No, Labyrinth doesn't look too great.
No, it really doesn't. And there was a special kind of vitamin C that I chewed as a child that I can't get anymore, and I'll never, ever be able to reproduce that flavor again, and it was most delicious flavor.
Yeah.
But that thought of some people, it does personally hold up, and those are stories I love too, but I also love when someone can say, this was from my childhood, and I wish I hadn't rewatched it, because it changed how you feel about those memories, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I rewatched just dumb cartoons that I used to love as a kid, and then I'm going, that was weird.
Yeah.
No wonder my parents...
I was thinking about this the other day, and I think that in general, films have a better chance of holding up than television, because if you see old television shows that you loved in the 70s or 80s or, you know, however, whenever you were a child, before the technology of, you know, before the technology progressed to where we are now, they look awful. There's really no way to, and the further back you go, the worse they look, and there's really no way to, you know, but whereas film seems to hold up just as far as how it looks and how it feels a little bit better to me, I think. And I just wonder what the next...
It's some of them do.
What's that?
But you know what I mean? I think that it depends on the shows, too.
Yeah.
But and just when they were produced, where you can watch the first couple seasons of Buffy and then you watch the last couple seasons, just leaps and bounds in technology, also more like a bigger budget, and you know, that's with almost any good show. But yeah, I think a lot of it, I just rewatched Terminator 2 the other day, and I saw it in the theater, and I remembered just loving it and how great it was, and I just rewatched it and just having moments of, really? Like, this scene was so bad.
Yeah.
But I mean, overall, it's still a good film, but it's the special effects, the makeup, things, you know, some of it's just not going to hold up in those regards, and it makes me sad. Like, what is it now? What things will hold up for the future?
You know,
have you seen anything recently that you think is going to last?
Oh, God, I don't know. You know, Norman Lear's stuff from the 70s really holds up well.
Yeah.
All in the Family.
Oh, yeah?
Barney Miller.
I haven't seen any Barney Miller in a long time.
Well, they didn't really rely on special effects or anything. I think that's where they lose it.
Yeah, it was just stories.
Yeah, no, and it's still as good as it was.
Still good stories, yeah. Yeah, and that's the other thing, too, with special effects is, you know, for a long time it was practical effects, and people got better and better and better at practical effects, and it seemed right when they kind of reached a point where you could do just about anything with practical effects, all of a sudden
CG
comes along and it takes this quantum leap backwards into shitty CGI, you know, from amazing practical effects to shitty CGI, and now that's moved forward and we have, you know, good CGI. But
it's more affordable.
Yeah.
For pilots and things like that, when they're you know, they can actually put out a good version and meet their vision a lot easier.
Right, right.
And we're theater people, so we know what it is to be transported by really good practical effects really close to you. And I mean,
I used to be in the crew. I was never really one of the main actors in any of the things I did in high school, that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
But I always loved being a part of the crew and having, you have to do with what you've got.
Yeah.
Yep.
And make it good. Take them to, you know, the original 3D was theater.
Yeah. Right. You know. Exactly.
So it's kind of funny that we're relying on so many different effects, as you know, where people are acting with a little, you know, dot, you know, those sticks with a ball on them, where they're going, this will be a monster later. Just
right.
Try and react to it.
please be scared of this tennis ball now. And action.
And then you wonder why some of those are so bad or so poorly acted.
Yeah. And
well,
I mean, I feel like, you know, the 3D is still not great, except for the super expensive ones. It still gives me a headache, and it's still dark in certain ones, the cheaper ones. But I just, I wonder if we're going to eventually, like if we look back in 25 years, are we going to have, like, basically holodeck movies where you just go in and you're in a room and the thing is literally happening all around you?
Oh, that'd be cool.
You know? And
well, I rewatched some things that were made in the 60s and 70s, and I've been rewatching a bunch of the Twilight Zone to see what some of that. Mm. And there are episodes where they make, you know, when they make those futuristic episodes, like 40 years in the future, in the year 2000,
right.
It's like, wow. So
right.
You're watching that, and, you know, I can relate. I do remember those years, and I don't remember having flying cars, but they would make, you know, they made scientific predictions for certain things with video calls and,
right.
You know, all that. The technology, I think it might not take the same form, but yeah, why not? We
sure.
might just very well have something like that. It just might take longer.
Yeah. And that's speaking of getting things to hold up, that's whenever you're making bold predictions about the future, it's really hard to do once you actually get to those years. I mean, we're only a year away from Back to the Future 2.
Yep. I'm still kind of pissed off that I don't have a flying car.
Yeah. We don't have hoverboards. We don't have 3D.
Oh, I hear the movie. Twilight Zone. That makes me super happy.
Yep. You know what else is...
Because I've watched a lot of episodes of the Twilight Zone. I'm only on season 4, though.
You know what else you should do while you're on that kick is on Netflix, you can watch all the old Alfred Hitchcock Presents.
Oh, yeah.
Those are really good.
I just got a film noir boner. And yep. I'm super excited.
Oh, yeah. Go check them out. I watched a bunch of those, and there's a... I'm trying to remember. There was
a lot of overacting, though. That's
yeah.
one thing that gets me.
Where oh, yeah.
it's just, no, no, no!
Yeah.
Where it's like, whoa, take it down a notch.
Mm-hmm.
We might be... I think it was like Clara Bow, wasn't it? Where when she was trying to make the transition from...
Oh,
silent films
yeah.
to a talkie.
Yeah.
She apparently was just ridiculously overacting because
yeah.
that's what she was trained to do.
Well, mm-hmm. she also had a very thick Brooklyn accent that didn't hold up well. She and John Gilbert were bad casualties of that time for
yeah.
that reason.
It makes me happy. It reminds me of like Singing in the Rain
mm-hmm.
with the, what do you think, I'm dumb or something? You know, that really, wow.
Right.
Oh, I love it, but some of those things, the stories hold up,
yeah.
whereas maybe the acting doesn't, but I think if the love or the meaning behind a project stands out,
uh-huh.
you know, the same way you said that All in the Family and those things are still really good and they're still relevant because it's based on a story, something we can all connect to.
Right.
And really good actors.
Oh, what's that?
And really good acting as well. I mean, those were very, very fine actors. All of
Absolutely.
Those guys were Broadway guys. You know what also holds up really well now is the original Haunting of Hill House. That is a scary motherfucking movie.
Yeah, I was...
I've never seen that.
It's mid-60s.
Somebody was mentioning that on... somebody had asked in a forum or something for lists of horror movies that they should watch. I, of course, just said Exorcist 3.
Oh, yeah.
which holds up, by the way. They were talking about that. That actually might have been in the Private F Tomcast group.
Well, you're not supposed to tell anybody. No, I'm just kidding.
I didn't say anything.
No, I just figure all the depraved people will end up finding that if they're looking for it. That's where
yeah.
all the good stuff happens.
Absolutely.
Well, that's why we're here. But you know what? Thank you guys for diving into that with me. And I'm going to have you both on separately. But, you know, there's so many great memories and, you know, things that you can pull apart. Just hearing that Twilight Zone music, mm-hmm. I was just instantly reminded me of when I was a kid. My mom loved watching old Twilight Zone episodes and The Outer Limits and all those weird sci-fi shows. And,
right.
And you know, she's the big nerd who got me into D&D and all that. We would talk Skyrim and stuff like that. So, lifelong nerds.
There you go.
But when I hear that, I instantly am transported to a place of, you know, good things where it made me happy. And watching it now and seeing that some of these stories still hold up.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe not the effects, but overall, it's still being a satisfying watch or revisit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the whole point. And people always, comics and actors tend to have just a little bit more of a gregarious answer, I think. I think that's the only difference.
Yep.
they mostly get a little bit more, you know, always working on bits, right?
Mm-hmm. There you go.
But I'm glad you guys like the idea. That's why I shopped it around a little bit. And I wanted to make sure people were... knew where I was going with it. And
oh yeah, I love it,
you know. So I'm just, nice, that makes me super excited.
We actually,
like, I love podcast people. You guys are my favorite people ever.
We actually had most of an episode talking about the Dark Crystal versus Labyrinth hold up versus not hold up.
And those are great examples, because I think the Dark Crystal, yowza.
Mm-hmm.
Still.
The effects, that's the thing. I mean, some of the effects can take you out if the story doesn't surpass some of the glaring,
right,
you know, missteps. It's difficult to watch or put yourself into it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, absolutely. But to me,
I guess I look at things like that and the effects from different eras in a different way. Like, looking at a medieval painting, I don't necessarily think, oh, that really takes me out of the moment of looking at it because they hadn't figured out perspective yet.
That's a different, certainly
so
a different kind of
thing.
So to me,
like, looking at different eras of special effects and stuff doesn't necessarily, I think it's probably just from spending my whole life in theater. Like, I still really, as long as they did a good job with it, I can totally commit to it. And I look at it and I think, well, wow, I mean, for like 1935, that's pretty
absolutely
fucking amazing.
Well, that's the thing. Good story can overcome bad effects.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But good effects cannot save bad story.
Oh, not at all.
Which is the case for most, like, the Transformer movies.
Oh,
and
right.
Fuck off. Fuck off.
Well, that's the thing. Like, the special effects do not make it okay to watch that.
No.
We mm-hmm. just watched the new Gojira last night, Godzilla, the new one.
Yeah. I heard it was real bad, so I didn't watch it.
You know,
I've heard nothing but bad. Was it? What did you think?
Well, I view things with a specific, so like, the whole time I was like looking at Dylan being like, this is animal fighting. We're just looking at big giant animals fighting, and they're just trying to mate, and that's a fucking pregnant female. They're trying to bomb a fucking pregnant female, and like, and it's just, this is just glorified dog fighting. Why do we do this? Dylan's like, why can't you just enjoy yourself?
Sometimes it's too difficult. I couldn't watch lizard porn like that.
No,
and enjoy it.
I don't care for it. And then at the end, of course, they gave, in order to endear Godzilla to us, they gave him very specifically dog-like tendencies, like the way he snuffled when he woke up and stuff like that. And I was mm-hmm. like, you dirty cheats! You fucking dirty cheats! You're making me feel like this is a dog, goddamn you to hell! So I didn't think it was particularly great. I don't know why they put Bryan Cranston in a bad wig. Most of it I just didn't care for. There's very mm-hmm. few. That is why I like Stephen King, because it's not just great horror. It's great horror about deeply developed characters
mm-hmm.
that care about other things. Like, they're not mostly afraid of monsters. Mostly they're afraid of people that they love getting hurt or losing the world that they know or something like that. And so the other stuff that happens to them is very, very scary, but he the scary imagery does not preclude making sure that there's strongly developed characters that we give a shit about.
Right.
And so that's kind of how I feel about, like, you know, high effect movies. Like, I don't really care. I mean, once we started going to see all that CGI stuff, it was exciting for a minute. We're like, oh, yeah, I mean, I remember. And mostly those things just make me carsick anyway. I got so carsick during Return of the Jedi years ago. I threw up my popcorn. Dylan took me to see, I think, the first Transformers in, like, IMAX, also threw up because it made me carsick. So mostly I'd really rather that you just develop the character.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big barfer. I can't even really, like, if I'm on top during sex, I have to look at a fixed point on the horizon, or I throw up. So that's not good.
Yeah.
I wish that were not true, sadly.
Yeah, unfortunate.
Also, during hand jobs, always extend my pinky. Always a lady.
Classy, always a lady.
Yes, absolutely. I look down always the time, a lady. I'm like, it looks like I'm having tea. Yeah.
So part of your foreplay is taking Dramamine.
Part of my fucking life is taking Dramamine. I almost missed my Dramamine window today because I forgot that I was coming here. And but I actually have to take Dramamine just to, like, walk around my house because there's something wrong with me. So yeah, I'm like the most carsick person in the world.
I'm picturing Lucille, too, from Arrested Development, Eliza Minnelli's character, of just having that crazy vertigo.
Yeah.
Is it like that? Because if so, I want to videotape you at all times.
it's sort of like that.
It's not terribly far off.
No, it really isn't. Bob knows me in real life, so yes, that's true. I'm a big vomiter. I'm just a big vomiter. Luckily, not when I need to vomit, when I've eaten a whole cake and don't want to get fat, then there's no vomiting, but, like... Oh, I turned my head too quick. Don't look in the dryer. Then I have that kind of thing.
Do not look in the dryer.
I can't look in the dryer. I get sick looking in the dryer. I'm like, no, clothes. Yeah, so, again, wish it weren't true.
Yeah, that's a shame. That is a shame.
Between that and the fucking tea pinky on the hand jobs, one lump or two?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's an excellent question. I don't know how to answer that.
Isn't it, though?
Would you like one lump or two with your hand job?
Lemon or cream?
Definitely not lemon. Probably cream, but not lemon.
You know what? There's a famous poet, and I can't remember who it was, who wanted to complete this... apparently would always answer when someone asked if you wanted lemon or cream, would say both, because when lemon and cream mix, it kind of curdles.
Uh-huh.
And it's really gross. And I can't remember who the author was, but
probably
I just
want
to do that. No one's ever asked me.
I was just going to say that sounds like something Oscar Wilde would do.
You know, you can overcome that by just having Earl Grey, and because bergamot is kind of lemony. You didn't really want a solution to that, but there it is.
But now we have one.
Yeah, we do.
We're all the better for it.
Indeed, yes.
Yes, we are.
So, I'm glad I could help you with that.
I live my life always prepared, so now I know.
Now you know.
Semper paratus.
I don't know what that means.
Always prepared.
Okay. See, I learned two new things in the last 14 seconds.
Well, there you are.
This is a good fucking day.
Good goddamn day.
That's right.
It's a fine day, everybody. Fine day. Still listening, Frank? Frank?
Hello? Oh, by the way, Julia, Frank is our listener.
Yes.
So
Julia,
oh,
Frank,
hi.
Frank, yeah.
Frank, Julia. Julia, this is Frank.
Hey, I feel like we should have met sooner.
Yeah, we were just having so much fun. We forgot to introduce you.
Yeah, we forgot Frank. That was very rude of us.
Sorry,
we
Frank.
We also have Steve, who is a friend of ours from theater and perhaps the coolest guy in the world as far as I'm concerned. I think he's, like, super cool and hip. Also, my high school boyfriend listens. Hi, Terry. And
wait, is he in high school, or you've known him since high school?
Well, I'm Blanche Dubois, so he is actually still in high school. Young man. No, he's...
What's that great... I think it's an Amy Schumer joke. I finally slept with my high school crush, but now he expects me to go to his prom or go to his graduation. I love that one.
Yeah.
It's a good joke.
finally learned how to talk to high school girls. I'm 40. Yeah, so my high school boyfriend still, he is no longer in high school, but he listens. So I believe we have four listeners. Sometimes John Margheim listens, so that's five.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Sometimes it gets a little it gets a little bit like Romper Room. We hold the mirror up, you know, to the internet and see who we can spot looking back at us.
Which is what stripper shoes felt like. The first time I put on a pair of stripper shoes, it was like clomping around in those little yellow buckets.
Oh, the buckets with the strings. Oh, God. The ankle breakers?
Clompity clomp, clomp, clomp. See, yeah, ankle breakers.
I was a fat kid. I couldn't get on those. They would collapse and I would break my ankles.
I saw the lady from Romper Room in person one time when I was little. And
get
I was
the
so
fuck out of here.
Impressed. Yeah.
That is pretty impressive.
I grew up with Bozo the Clown. That was traumatizing enough.
Bozo. Cookie.
I think that's why later when It came out, I think that's why I was horrified by that, because it made me feel like somehow Bozo the Clown was secretly moonlighting as a creepy killer clown.
See, I never... Bozo was okay. Cookie always bugged me, though.
We had Blinky here.
Oh, really?
Blinky was the
See, I was in Chicago when I was watching Bozo the Clown, so Cookie, there you go. Cookie was his sidekick.
I'm from Cleveland.
Yeah, so you probably remember Cookie early. He may have been gone. I don't know.
Well, all of the clowns that are from the Toad Ash space, yes.
I don't know what that word is.
I'm just glad clowns are not in. No, I'm just glad clowns aren't really a thing anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the Toad Ash space is the other world sometimes that things come out of from Stephen King stuff.
Gotcha.
But you didn't know that.
The thin spots.
Yeah, thinnies.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like that. Ooh. That's one place or another you go through the thinny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
I feel like we need to get theater and super nerdy on some stuff. I don't think we have enough time for all that, but holy crap, I want
to. There's always time for nerdiness.
Oh, absolutely.
When my day, we could talk about nerd stuff all day.
That's right.
My day, we did.
Yeah. And it's my day.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to.
But I had to walk uphill both ways in the snow to talk about D&D.
That's right.
Absolutely. And we were all wearing Mr. Bill t-shirts from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. We had to write our own players' handbooks out by hand with a dull pencil.
That's right.
Yeah. And we were grateful.
That's
and
right.
We were grateful.
We were glad to fucking have that dull pencil.
Yeah. Fucking game module took a week's wages. You wanted a new game module you didn't eat. That's
right.
Feed your children.
I memorized all the Tetris theme songs, and I love it.
There you go.
Oh, God. Those still haunt me. And I tried playing an old Game Boy recently, and I almost threw it. It gets super hot, and then as the batteries drain, I remember that the screen gets progressively more and more gray until it's just done.
Mm-hmm. Until you're holding it a half an inch from your face and squinting.
Oh, but if you didn't change those batteries soon enough, you could be in the middle of your highest scoring game and it just fades
guaranteed.
Out.
Guaranteed.
Just goes way up.
Guaranteed you'd be in the middle of your highest scoring game.
I was so nerdy. I was such a nerdy child that I actually belonged to the D&D club, the chess club, and the Latin club.
That's the trifecta.
It is the trifecta.
It is the trifecta. And you were already also in the Thespian Society, right?
I was a thespian, yes.
There you go.
So, yes, Terry can
attest to my
nerdiness. The superfecta, yes.
Oh, man.
I was...
That is a certain group of people.
Yeah.
Yes, it's
very specific.
Sure were. I went to Latin camp. Can you believe
those were some crazy bastards, I bet.
They were. My senior year, I was planning on entering religious orders and instead became a stripper. So, because I finally...
Heads or tails.
I am going to have to, yeah, kind of, actually.
Yeah.
Or souls or tails.
It was
souls
bound to be one or the other.
Absolutely. Yeah, I didn't, mine was theater, chess club, and band.
Oh, I was also in band.
Yeah.
So that's like the uber-fecta.
Yeah, that's the uber-fecta. That's the, yeah.
I tried to be in band. The first year you could do band, I tried to be in it, but my dad bought me a trumpet, and it was his idea. Uh-huh. Hands me the thing, started forging all my practice. You know, you had to get your parents to sign that you practiced. And
right.
And my dad would forge them because he couldn't stand how awful I was. Like, he expected me somehow to be amazing at this. I'm like, it's a trumpet. It's meant to be loud.
Right.
Then I picked up the guitar, which was a lot easier on everyone. But, right. You know, it was just one of those things, like, you bought it for me, and now you want me to be cooler.
Yeah, that's a hard one to be good at right away. Like,
no.
Yeah, that's a difficult one.
No one's good at the trumpet when they first start. What did you play?
I played I played a lot of things, but
yeah,
I finally settled on saxophone, and then
sexy.
Oh, absolutely.
I wanted to play saxophone so bad.
It's the best.
Flute is so nerdy. It's just so nerdy and ineffectual. We're like the twiddling on top of the fun melody line and stuff like that. And the trombones sit behind us. And if you think trumpet is bad, trombones suck way worse for way longer. And they fucking dump their fucking saliva out right behind your chair.
Oh, yeah. It's a great sound.
Oh, yeah, but you at least get to say you're a flautist. That sounds lovely.
Well, it does. There's only one kind of flute I play these days.
I don't get it.
So, yeah, that's how I roll now. So my embouchure, while still perfectly serviceable, is not what it once was.
Mm. By the way, my mother is a professional flutist, and they do not call themselves flautists.
Really?
Oh, they say flutists.
They say flutists or flute players.
Or flute players. Mm-hmm. And she has, you can tell she's a professional flute player.
Anyway. Because
she has cocapelli everywhere in her house. Like, her entire house is just this cocapelli. If she were less charming, she would be like a Christopher Guest character with all those cocapelli things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She would indeed.
But she's adorable.
Oh yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. So we're almost out of time here, Julia. What? Where can people find your stuff out there in the internets?
I am at Julia WD Harrison on everything. So if you're not already following me on Instagram or the Twitter or whatever, that's usually where I post whenever I'm doing comedy shows. And follow at the Hold Up Pod. I'm going to be posting some stuff very soon. And I'm also trying to get some people to help me with artwork to submit. Come on. I'm not the art person.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants to help out, come on.
Frank?
I'll even make you something. We'll have a little treat.
Frank, if you're or you know any artists, send me
his way. There
you go.
Frank, let's do this. Come on.
Yeah.
I'll take you behind the middle school. We'll get weird with it.
Yeah,
do not steal Frank from us. He's all we've got.
we'll share him, but you have to give him back when you're done. And make sure you keep your pinky up.
It's sort of like Jolene. Ooh. Don't take
That's right.
Man,
That's
Jolene.
Right. That's right.
Julia, don't take our Frank.
That's right. The regular speed version.
Frank, get your finger off that fucking mouse. You are going nowhere. Do you understand me? I said stop right now.
Frank.
Do not
Frank.
Hit that unsubscribe button, you motherfucker.
Don't
you better not.
No.
What did I say, Frank?
Well, Julia, it has been not only a hoot, but also a holler.
A hoot and a holler. Well, thank you. I had a great time.
Thank you so much for joining us, and hopefully you can come back again sometime.
We would enjoy that very much.
Yeah, very much.
Oh, thank you, darling.
And
no, thank you, guys. I had a blast. I'm so glad you asked me.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to have you guys on mine, so then Frank can listen to everything you do.
There you go.
We'll do
Love
more
it.
Podcast threesomes. It'll be exciting.
Yes, with our pinkies up the entire time and extra.
I'll take my Dramamine. I'm ready for a bumpy ride, baby.
There you go.
Fasten your seatbelts.
Thank you, guys.
Find Julia online at Julia WD Harrison everywhere, and check out her shows. Also, head on over to iTunes, give us that rating and the review. We want the one with all the shiny gold stars on it. That one makes us happy. Most importantly, if you like the show, tell your friends. If you don't, tell your enemies. And until next time, remember to use your outside voices.
Bye, Frank.
the song to the top. Kill for the thrill, cut it, stick it where you got 'em. Circle rolling under, running red to the stop.